This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
State Representative Virgil Osborne in with us today. A lot going on. Sounds like a very busy time in the Oregon State Legislature.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me today, Kyle.
Yeah. So let's talk about this wildfire map. You've got a meeting tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk more about that in a moment. I think it was last Friday you put out a release about that. Why don't you kind of explain what's going on with that whole issue?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most people are aware, especially if you're a rural citizen in Douglas County and or most of Southern Oregon, that the Senate passed a bill back in 21 that was House Bill 762, and it created a wildfire mapping program. And the reason for it was the wildfires of 2020, the Archie Creek fire and the Santa Ana Canyon fire. The results of that, I think the Senate felt, and really a senator in particular, Jeff Golden, decided that there needed to be a bill that was passed to map out the state and to point out the wildfire risks in the area that they were most prominent in. And I think the intention behind the bill was to create the map, which would have eventually helped position firefighting equipment and doing wildfire mitigation in that particular, you know, area that it defined as needed to be done. Unfortunately, it's kind of backfired. So in 22 or 23, I think it was, they actually undid the maps because they were done very poorly and it was very flawed. But then they redid the maps, and now we have this mapping program that just pretty much put just about, you know, Douglas County, probably half our residents, in a wildfire zone.
So what does that mean? And of people that are in the lands impacted, have they already been notified?
They have been notified. There was 106,000 notifications that went out in the state, most of which were in the southern Oregon and southwestern Oregon. And basically, they have time to appeal the ruling, or the findings, I should say, from the maps. That appeal deadline is March 7th. I think I've heard that they'll extend it to March 10th. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty critical for those folks that are in wildfire zones. I mean, this is life-changing for them to be put into this particular zoning.
Now, with the idea sounding like wanting to prevent wildfires, be ready to fight them, what are some of the things, if you're in that zone, what are some of the implications?
Well, I think one of the misnomers is that the insurance has gone up, and there definitely is, that is a problem. The insurance is going up all over the state, and you can see that because of some of the fires that have happened not only here, but most recently in California. The map, in 23, we passed another bill that the insurance companies were not allowed to use that map as their to set premiums. The issue is the insurance companies already have their maps, and their maps are probably even more critical than the maps that the state has put out. But it's all coming together at one time. So the number one issue I hear is people's insurance is either being dropped or the insurance rates are going up. And they're of course blaming the maps. And the state is not your friend when it comes to these maps. It certainly puts you in a category where wildfire is a higher risk on your property. And it doesn't take into consideration any of the work that you may have done on your property to make it wildfire resistant already.
So how do they identify a particular property, or is it kind of a whole zone?
It's more or less a zone, and that's the problem with the maps. They're very flawed because they did not go door to door. They didn't, you know, of course, the state is never going to put out that much effort, but they didn't look at each one of the properties. And sometimes there are folks that have literally been, the neighborhood has changed completely. There may be a whole subdivision where there used to be timber, used to be trees, but yet it still is now in the wildfire zone, which changes everything. You know, potentially it could cost you your value of your house because nobody wants to buy a house that's listed as a higher wildfire risk, you know, just as if it was in a flood zone. A lot of people don't want to buy a house on the river because if it floods, you're going to lose your house, right? So the state has determined that for them. And in many, many cases, it's just flat flawed. It doesn't take into consideration a lot of things.
Now, is this just rural areas? I mean, do you have properties, for instance, in the city of Roseburg that would be part of this?
I haven't looked that close for around the city of Roseburg, but any property that would be up against wildland, what they call the WUI, which is wildland, the zone around it, Yes, it certainly could affect you. I mean, if you're right on the border of the city and you have, you know, I don't know, acres of timber and trees or brush or whatever behind you, your neighbor's property could be putting your property in jeopardy of being in the zone.
So what do you think is the most flawed part of the process?
So the most flawed part of the well, a couple of things. Number one, the state just really shouldn't have the ability to come into your property and tell you how that you need to take care of it, right? And the maps just give them the roadmap to do that. And that is the biggest flawed part, because the maps are not individual, and nobody wants that. I mean, nobody wants the state to come on your property and say, hey, you got to cut that tree down. That's your shade tree, but you got to cut it down. Otherwise, you're in a wildfire zone. The other side of this issue is that this Senate Bill 762 also allowed the ability for the state to have future zoning implications, right? So if you want to build another house on your property, or say you have, you know, 20 acres in the woods that you want to eventually put a cabin on, now the state gets a say-so on what you use for building materials, roofing materials, the buffer around it. I mean, all of that, right? So it's state control is what it is, and that's the flawed part of it. There are a lot of things in the bill that were really good. One of the things I haven't read the entire portion of this part of the bill, but one of the things it did do was create a system of wildfire cameras, infrared cameras, and around the woods. And, you know, that's great. And also positioned some firefighting equipment. There were several pieces of firefighting equipment that was also in the bill too. But unfortunately, the bill really hurts or has a potential to really hurt individual landowners.
Now, what's the process now with your meeting, in terms of, are you just kind of putting information out there? Or what are you asking people to do?
So obviously interested parties were, you know, invited, or actually it's open to the public, and I imagine we'll have a big turnout. The reason for the meeting is to explain the appeals process more than anything. And also explain, a lot of people just don't know what Senate Bill 762 did. Imagine your, you know, elderly parents that own some ranch land that's up against some wildlands. You know, they've lived there their whole life, and all of a sudden they get this thing in the mail that says basically, hey, your property is now in the wildfire zone. They don't know what to do, right? And, you know, probably a lot of those letters went in the garbage to start with. But this is an opportunity for, we're going to explain what this process did, what it's currently doing, and help you understand how to write the appeal. The appeals process, although it has its own flaws, you need to get your appeal into the state so you have standing in the case, right? So there's going to be plenty of legal stuff coming, but you got to get your name on the books. You got to get record that you don't agree with this finding.
So, I mean, that's a lot of, how many properties did you say? It was pretty big number.
106,000.
So that's quite a bit. I mean, even if a small percentage of people protested or formalized the fact that they disagreed with it, it's going to get kind of bogged down.
Yeah, and actually the appeals have been pretty limited so far. I think it's in the hundreds. I mean, we haven't had that many appeals come in, and I don't know if that's just because people just don't care, they don't understand the process. More likely that it has to do with not quite understanding when there's a March 7th deadline. So we're running out of time to get your appeal in, and you just need to get it in. Whether you think your property fits the appeal or not, I would still write just a one page, hey, I oppose this finding, I don't agree with it, and send it in.
So what are you hearing from proponents now that this map has been out for a while?
Well, you know, amazingly, the proponents have vanished. Right. So they've evaporated. The biggest proponent being the senator that wrote the bill, Jeff Golden, and he now is backpedaling. He actually did a remonstrance on the Senate floor last week and talked about how he realizes the bill's flawed, the maps are flawed, and he wants to change things. Jeff wants to keep the maps. The maps need to go. We need to repeal the bill, really, to make it right. Although there are a lot of good things that came with that bill. But I haven't had anybody come to me as a proponent. I have not heard one person yet, and I get hundreds of emails on this thing. I've not heard one person say it was a good idea.
Now, talk about when and where for your town hall meeting.
So the town hall is this Saturday. It's 4 to 6, I think, is the time on it. And it'll be at the Douglas County Fairgrounds and in a community hall. So I can't remember the name of the rooms, but we have seating for 600. Originally, I think we expected a 200, then it went to 400. We have seating for 6, and I expect now I've heard there'll be over 1,000 people there.
All right, we're going to talk more about that and other things with the legislature when we get back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. It's News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. In studio, State Representative Virgil Osborne. Now, the Oregon House schedule still has you off out of Salem on Fridays for at least a while, right?
Yeah, we'll get to come home on Thursday nights until we get into floor sessions on Fridays, and we haven't met that mark yet. So hopefully we don't get there till later in the session.
So the meeting tomorrow to talk about these wildfire maps, 4 to 6 at the Fairgrounds Community Conference Hall. Are you going to have state officials coming, or who all will be there?
We will. We'll have Senator Brock Smith there. We'll have State Representative Court Boyce and our newest representative, Alex Scarlatos. We will all be in attendance for questions. My understanding is we will have some of our county commissioners as well. But I do want to stress one thing about our county commissioners, and they opposed this bill from the start. And this bill was not something that had anything to do with the county commissioners. This bill was done, frankly, 100% by our legislature. And the only way this bill can get undone or changed is by our legislature. So this falls back on our responsibility. Myself and the Senate and our House representatives, we have to fix this bill. Our county doesn't have the authority or the ability to fix this bill.
So you been talking about wanting to see it repealed. Does anybody put legislation out to do that?
Yeah, we do have the Senate. Noah Robinson has a bill to repeal 762 altogether. I believe Daniel Bonham, the Senate leader, has also signed on to that bill as well. Just in caucus, we've discussed, and I think you'll see some legislation coming out from the House that does similar things. And I believe that you'll probably see that sometime next week. I haven't seen the writing of the bill yet, but it's coming.
Now, if you've got a deadline for now, though, even if you repeal it, that's going to take effect later.
Well, it would be considered an emergency, so it would take effect on passage. So once if that bill gets through the Senate into the House, it would go in front of the governor immediately, and she would have to make the decision on whether or not to sign it or not. We also have the person that was responsible for the bill, Senator Golden from Ashland, is also trying to write his own legislation to basically cover his butt and get out of the process because he knows he's in trouble for doing this.
So if it makes it to the governor, what do you think she'll do?
You know, that's a good question. I can't answer that. I would hope that she would consider the rural Oregonians are going to suffer dramatically from this bill. But, what I've seen in the past, I mean, it's anybody's guess.
So a ways into the session now, do you feel like this is going to be overall a productive session?
It's been pretty good, but I think that the Trump presidency has blown up the Democrats' agenda in the state. They need federal money. ODOT's in trouble, so I think the Democrats are fighting right now to get get federal money for ODOT. We see that they've got that battle going on in the background. Now they have the wildfire mapping battle going on that they're going to have to somehow get out of looking bad on. You know, and then there's other miscellaneous battles, and they want to toll us. They're looking at tolling highways, and they are certainly looking at a bunch of taxes. So, you know, in their agenda, the three of the major parts of their agenda are all bad. So it's going to be interesting to see how things turn when they finally do start bringing these across the floor and to the to the House and to the Senate. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to end up, but right now it's not looking very good.
With some of the big quick shift with federal priority changes, do you think there's a potential there for that to impact having a federal funding piece for a veterans home in Roseburg?
Now that money, there's always that potential for sure. The state has that money, and we need to go back for legislation to make sure we keep that money because it is, goes into a fund that can be robbed by the Democrats, frankly, and I think we'll be okay there on the state side. The federal side, it's not like the Trump administration to ignore our veterans. I think they will probably go ahead and fund that. Now, we need Wyden and Merkley and Val Hoyle to agree with us on that and keep fighting on the federal side to get that money, and that's another $60 million needs to come to us to get that done.
And originally the hope was that that was going to be part of an omnibus bill at the end of the last year, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, it did not happen, but I think it's still first up on the agenda. You know, Senator Brock Smith, myself, and Commissioner Freeman, and Court Boyce, our commissioner, or I'm sorry, Rep Boyce, fought really hard, and many others did too, to get the state funding for the $35 million. We've got that. We did our part. So now we need the feds and we need our representatives to come through for us on their part.
Now, as you look at other issues, what are some of the things you've been working on in Salem?
So interestingly enough, one of my own personal bills was a DEQ change. I'm a OHV is my hobby, so I have a lot of OHV interest in the house, and we were changing a law on decibel ratings to trying to get it to come out of the DEQ's responsibility and put it into the responsibility of Oregon Parks and Rec. I was able to get a hearing on that, and I had a work session scheduled for that actually yesterday, and the building was closed because of the snowstorm, so that hasn't had a work session yet, but I believe that it's going to go through the House and through the Senate pretty easy. I've also got a search and rescue bill, which was scheduled for hearing, and that got canceled because of the snow. Other than that, it's been a real fight on commerce and consumer protection. We're hearing a lot of really crazy bills, and now we have one coming up that's a reparations bill. So we have Representative Travis Nelson from Portland has decided that it's important that we repay our Black Americans for the slavery and whatever was done several years ago, back in the 1800s. We don't have enough tax money to take care of our homeless or anything else, but he wants money for that. So, we're fighting a lot of crazy, and we're hearing a lot of stuff that's just insane.
Overall, how do you think the state is looking in terms of not only the budget, but the funds coming in?
Well, I think the federal funds are not going to come in, and or they're going to have stipulations on them the state's not going to like. I think we're going to lose our funding for, I hope, actually, we lose our funding for EVs and electric cars. All of that stuff needs to be going on in the background. It shouldn't be the forefront. This state has issues with homelessness, with drug use, with, mental health, all kinds of issues. That's where we need to be spending our money. So hopefully, we can focus more on that. Now, we don't have the money, and I don't know how they plan on getting the money except by taxing us more. So we're going to fight that every chance we get. The first one that's coming up is a provider tax for the health providers, and that's you're going to see that probably come from the Senate over to the – I think it's actually in the House. You'll see that probably next week as well.
And as you look ahead, remind people what committees you're on.
So I'm on Commerce and Consumer Protection, Economic Development, Small Business, and then I have House Climate, Energy, and Environment. So three great committees, very, very powerful committees in the state. We have the final say-so on a lot of stuff before it goes to the floor.
And anything particular in any one of those right now?
Well, Commerce and Consumer Protection, as we spoke last time, there's just so much going on. Like there's some insurance bills that are not necessarily kind to the insurance companies, and so they're kind of fighting that. And I'm the vice chair on that, so I hear a lot. Literally all day long, every day, I'm getting lobbyists coming in and talking about, how we can make amendments to it. Climate, energy, and environment, yeah, there's some crazy stuff. I mean, Rep Gamba, who I'm not a fan of with his environmental issues, he's trying to make it where every apartment complex, if it's got more than five housing units in it, that it has to have 50% of the parking in the complex has to have electric chargers for EVs. And this is low income we're talking about. So my question to him was, well, how many low income folks drive Teslas? And he didn't like that question. But so what he wants to do is raise the price of building houses, raises the price per door $50,000, which I don't see how that helps us develop houses and, housing for homeless. So that's one of the things that we're dealing with there. Economic development, small business. I mean, there's just everything's a challenge. I mean, this state does a great job trying to put businesses out of business. DEQ is a real issue there, and OSHA as well. Too much to go into in a short period of time on the radio, but we're battling that as well.
All right. And again, remind people what time for the meeting tomorrow night?
4 to 6.
All right. And that'll be at the Fairgrounds Community Conference Hall, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. State Representative Virgil Osborne. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.